Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Are you happy this afternoon? Yeah, it's good to be in the presence of God and to know that He has got some good blessings for us. Amen. It is blessed to be in the presence of our Creator. Father, we thank you this afternoon. We give you honor and glory for who you are. Blessed Redeemer, all of us are seated at your feet this hour. Father, we expect from you, O God. Speak to us in the manner that you have chosen this afternoon. Reveal to us the truth that you so desire us to know, O God. My Father, if there is one thing that you will speak to us that will heal our wounds, if there is something that you will speak to us that will lift us up, O God, we welcome it this afternoon. That your presence may be felt in our lives, O God. In Jesus' name we are prayed. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. May you sit down. I want to thank God for this opportunity that He has given to us to be discussing something related to Him and His presence in our lives. It is good always to reflect over the goodness of the Lord in our lives and just to enjoy being where He is. Praise the Lord. One day the disciples told Jesus, "To whom else shall we go? You have the words of life." Praise the Lord. I hope that is our desire and our prayer this afternoon, that Lord, we have no one else to turn to because of who you are in our lives. I want us to discuss on the subject of in His presence, in His presence. This is not an exhaustive discussion. It's just a scratch on the surface. My desire and prayer is that it shall provoke you into a deeper desire and interrogation of your own life and to investigate how close you are with God. Because it's very important that we understand the Christian life is about relationship. We are seeking a relationship with God. All of you, even those who did not go to the Sunday school or Friday school for that matter, you are aware of the story of Adam, Eve, and God. It was always the practice of God to come and have fellowship with this couple in the cool of the day. That tells us that God values relationships. So He established a relationship between Him and Adam and Eve. He wanted it to be so personal and so intimate between Him and this couple. And because He valued them so much, He also gave them some assignments. We are aware of what happened in the end. The enemy came in and he desired to break that relationship. That is the war that we have been fighting. But God did not abandon us, because the generation of Adam to which we belong, He created a Messiah, a second Adam, Jesus Christ, to restore that relationship that He started in the Garden of Eden. Sometimes, as I grew up, I had a challenge in forgiving Adam. I don't know how many of us have the same challenge, but I lived condemning Adam. If it were not for Adam, Adam, what happened to you? This life would be different. And every time it was like that, until one day God revealed to me, you know what? I've also given you the same opportunity I gave to Adam. You can choose to obey me or choose to walk away. I have brought my son, Jesus Christ, to restore you to the same estate that Adam was, the same position I placed Adam, so that I can have a relationship with you. That's the time I realized that Adam was, is not guilty for my problems, my sins. Praise the Lord. I shouldered them squarely on my own. I cannot walk around and give excuses for my failures. So I've said, I want us to discuss about this subject of in the presence of God. Because when Christ came, he came that he may restore us into that relationship where we are constantly in the presence of the Almighty God. I've got a long passage that I would like us to read, but I will ask my brother to read from Psalms 139. I'll ask my brother to read from verses 5 up to 11.
Psalm 139, 5 to 11. You have me behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light will become night around me.
Praise the Lord. We do understand from Scripture that when the first couple sinned, they were expelled from the presence of God out of the Garden of Eden. And so that fellowship, there was a crack in the fellowship they had with God. But many years down the line, the psalmist is telling us something very interesting, that the presence of God is always there with us. The psalmist has discovered that no matter where he wants to go, there the presence of God is. Praise the Lord. Even in darkness, the presence of God makes it light. He finds no place to hide himself because the presence of the Lord is there. Deep in the sea, there the hand of God is present. And therefore, the question is, do you sense the presence of God in your life? Some of us operate as though God only resides in this hall. Some of us operate as though God only shows up on Friday from 11:45 to 1:45, and he says, halas, bye-bye. Then he will also come and show himself on Thursday at 5:30, to 7, and then he's gone. Then occasionally he shows himself on victory night, then he's gone. The rest of the time we live as though God is so far from us and we have got to go walk physically to where he is. That's not true. The psalmist has told us there is no place where the presence of God is not realizable. Praise the Lord. So, when people say, I can sense the presence of God here, do they mean God had gone far away and he has just surfaced? No, that's not true. When people say, I can sense God's move in this place, what does this person mean? He only means that the awareness of God's presence is now alive in him. Praise the Lord. The awareness of God's presence where he is now alive in him. And that is where the problem with all of us is. We've never reached that place where the awareness of God's presence in our life is rekindled hour after hour, minute after minute. That explains why we've got to run to the church and feel now I am in the presence of God. That explains why we've got to behave as though God is somewhere very far. He's not seeing us. He's not seeing our thoughts. I know you know it, but I want to remind you, everything is bare and naked before him. Our thoughts are bare and naked before him. And that is why Jesus said, if you look at a woman and lust after her, you've already committed adultery. You know, sometimes when we say like this, the sisters think, that is for men. If you look at a man and lust after him, you have also committed adultery with that man. Praise the Lord. Sometimes when we talk about things like adultery, then it looks like it's a very serious. There are sins that we commit in our minds, in our thoughts, that may not be to that extent, but there are still sins. It is important for you to be aware that God is alive and well. Is alert to whatever you are doing. He sees through your mind. They are bare and naked. Sometime back, I was reading a book of somebody by the name Annie, delivered from the claws of Satan or something like that. The Powers of Darkness. This is a man who was a Satanist, used of the devil. But by God's grace, he got born again. And so God was using him to reveal some of the things that were happening in the kingdom of darkness, what they would experience there. And he says, a sin in a child of God or a man is as clear as, it's as if you are put in glass, you can see it. So they could see who is a Christian and who is delving into sin. Because it was so clear to them. Not that you have done, you have touched, no, it is in your mind and they can see, oh, this thought is there. So in the spiritual realm, the things that you think are so divorced from you, they are so plain in the eyes of God, they are so clear to the extent that he can pluck them out from you like this. Like somebody plucking cherry, the coffee beans. But why are we talking about the presence of God? Because in his presence, there's fullness of joy. Praise the Lord. There is freedom in his presence. If you allow yourself to move into the presence of God, he washes away that dirt. And you have got the confidence to call Abba Father because your conscience is clear. The Bible says, blessed is a man whose conscience is clear before God. Praise the Lord. In
Luke 5:17, One day, as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law, who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and from Jerusalem, were sitting there. And the power of the Lord present for him to heal the sick.
Praise the Lord. Now, you can go a few verses before and finish up the whole passage. You will discover something very interesting. People were seated in the presence of Jesus Christ. And the Bible records that the power of God was present. But not all of them were experiencing that power. All of them were happy just to see Jesus Christ and to hear him. But there was something in the spiritual dimension they were not sensing because of lack of awareness. It took somebody and the faith of four friends who came by and then they opened the ceiling, they lowered this man down. Then these people were wondering, you are disturbing us. We are listening to the Rabboni. But he said, keep calm. And when he had forgiven this man the sin, they were complaining. Because they had not sensed that there was this power that would deliver them from their sins. And when he had forgiven this man his sin and said, that you may know I have the power, he told the man, rise up, take your bed and go. When that happened, then they realized there was something funny, something far above their understanding. They were full of praise of what Christ had done. So, who was in the presence of God? Who was feeling the presence of God? What caused this man to experience the power of God and these others to walk away just saying, we have seen great things. This man is great. It never affected their own lives, but they could just say, oh, there's a great man. And they went home, waiting for another opportunity to observe such great testimonies. But there was one man who tuned purpose in his heart. I must leave this place with something in my heart. I must leave this place, the presence of God, with something. I am challenging you. When have you purpose in your heart that I'm going to the service, I want something different to happen into my life? Has it become a routine that we just come, oh, it's Friday. You comb your hair, you come and sit, sing, enjoy the songs. Oh, Friday's over. Wait for another one. When will you make this an appointment with God that I want something unique to happen into my life? When will you purpose and tune yourself into a situation where you say, do not pass me by as you visit other people in this place. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. When will you shout like Bartimaeus, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me? It's not how loud, it's how tuned your spirit is. I can assure you there were so many people shouting when Bartimaeus was shouting. It may be louder than Bartimaeus, but there was something unique in the voice of Bartimaeus. There was a unique frequency in the words that Bartimaeus was speaking. That's the frequency I want you and I to tune into. So that when God is ministering to people, I am not left out bare and naked, just waiting again for another day to come and sit. How many have got capital FM in their countries? A radio station, capital FM. It is all over. Okay, we have FM radios. Very many. Okay. So in Kenya, we have got Hot Spice FM. We have got, I think there's also Capital. There are so many others. I don't usually listen to so many. They talk so many things. One thing I've realized is everybody has got a preference of which radio stations they want to listen to. Those radio stations have been given frequencies to operate on. It is until you tune your receiver to that frequency, there is resonance, then you begin to receive what that radio station is telling you. If you don't like it, you tune to another radio station. Praise the Lord. We have got a radio station. Christ is the answer. FM. Praise the Lord. Christ is the answer. FM. If you tune into this, you will be in the presence. You are like fellowshipping with those people. I want to challenge all of us in our walk with God. Shall we begin to tune ourselves into this frequency of our Lord? That we begin to experience Him every time that we are in this world. Praise the Lord. Have an expectant heart. Let the degree of your thirst rise. And look forward to having an interaction with Him. When you are in His presence, it will be a blessed experience. Genesis 28, 11 to 22, brother.
When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth, with its tops reaching to the heaven. And the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place and I am not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Early next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on the journey I am taking, and give me food and eat and clothes to wear, so that I return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house, and of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth.
Praise the Lord. When is Al-Khair going to be your Bethel? When is Amirat going to be your Bethel? When is Gubra going to be your Bethel? When will Azeba become your Bethel? This man, from what we have read, he's on his way to his uncle's place to look for what brother, is it Brother Jonathan? You see, wives are very interesting. They make people walk very long distances. Praise the Lord. Our young man has had to travel. I don't know how he reached New Zealand and connected with people in India and then connected with people in Sri Lanka. All because of a wife. Praise the Lord. We thank God for that wedding. So this man is on his way, and the father has told him, I don't like this Canaanite woman. Go and look for a good wife among your people. Praise the Lord. And on the way, we are told he has an encounter. This encounter is unique because then Jacob discovers all along God has been there. Because in verse 16, this place, God is here. But God has always been there. Praise the Lord. But it takes a unique occurrence in his life. So what I'm saying is, in God's presence, it is a place of your personal encounter with him. You must have this unique encounter that distinguishes you. Because I want to tell you, God is not relating to us as a corporate. He loves corporate prayers. But he also values individual relationship. Praise the Lord. That's why he says he wants to have a personal, real, personal, individual relationship with you. Praise the Lord. Real. Say real. Real. Personal. When we were growing up as young children, young Christians, one thing that used to irritate our friends most, we would say, we were so eager to tell people, Jesus Christ is my personal savior. And they would say, why are you personalizing Christ? He died for all of us. He said, I've not stopped you. Personalize him too. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Sometimes it used to be a very heated debate because it was like an exclusive club. But it was open. The doors were open, but it's exclusive. Praise the Lord. You can join. You can join, but we don't force you to join. So I want to assure each one of you, no matter what level of Christianity you are in, there is a dimension that you must reach where you must begin to have some personal interaction with God at a very personal level. And this encounter begins to usher in different things in your lives, different experiences. And unless you have got this experience, your Christian life becomes a bit shaky. A second thing we observe, Jacob, as the Bible writes, he appears to have been alone. For this personal experience, where you have an experience with God, sometimes it demands that you isolate yourself. Praise the Lord. It demands that you and I must pull ourselves out of the crowd and begin to engage God at a personal level. It is good to have corporate prayers. It is good to fast, have a corporate fast. But it's more important for you to challenge yourself at a personal level. Lord, I want to know you more. I want to know you in a deeper way at a personal level. And begin to engage God at that level. What does that do? It brings a fresh agenda in your life. In verse 20, then Jacob made this vow, if God will indeed be with me and protect me on this journey, and if he will provide me with food and clothing, and if I return safely to my father's home, then the Lord will certainly be my God. A personal agenda now that Jacob is setting. Do you have something that really spurs you as an individual? I want to pursue the things of God. Or do you wait until there is a public announcement in the church? We need to do this, that you begin to stimulate yourself, to stir up yourself. You must reach a point where, as a child of God, something deep within propels you to search for this God at an individual level. You are never satisfied until you begin to engage him deeper and deeper and deeper at that personal level. Then your relationship with God will take a different dimension. Praise the Lord. This place we discover also from verse 18, we see something happening. The next morning, Jacob got up early. He took the stone he had rested his head against. How many have used a stone as a pillow? Maybe we need to do this so that we have an encounter with God. Praise the Lord. Yeah. So Jacob has used a stone as a pillow. It means there's some discomfort. I'm not sure you're going to sleep and snore the way you snore. Thank God my children are not here. They laugh at me that I keep snoring every day. When your head is on the stone, I'm sure there's a lot of discomfort. But I thank God it is this place that revealed God to Jacob. The place of discomfort, where you don't feel like you're having that sleep you wanted. You've been praying up to midnight. And you say, let me go and rest. And then at 2 a.m. again, there's an urge, wake up, go and pray. And you, Lord, but tomorrow is work. We can justify and say, tomorrow is work, let me have good sleep so that I don't sleep in the classroom when I'm teaching. And it will be good. It will be a wise decision. But it will leave you bare. Praise the Lord. When that urge comes, that discomfort, please heed. Wake up. Even if you have slept for 30 minutes, wake up and go and pray. It may go on for a week. It may go on for a month. Bear the pain. Praise the Lord. There you will begin to see the staircase of heaven open in your life. Praise the Lord. How many would like to have this experience, the Jacob experience? Ah, I'm shocked. Nobody wants to see angels going up and down. You know what they do when they're walking the stairs? They're going to bring new gifts. They bring, deliver, and go back. But if you don't want to see, thank you, I don't want to be in your company. Praise the Lord. Learn to be in the presence of God. Praise the Lord. It is a place of markers. We learn it is important to have markers in your life as a Christian. Jacob put this stone as a reminder to him. Do you have anything you can point out in your life? In this year, the Lord did for me this. You know what I discovered? When I'm feeling low in my spirit, sometimes the Spirit of God swings me back into my past years. And then I remember when I was facing this challenge in college, this word of knowledge came and God saw me through. Praise the Lord. Then I remember when I was abandoned on a boat, I was about to drown, the Lord came and blew the wind and it pushed me on the edge. Praise the Lord. It becomes a marker in my life, reminding me of God's presence in my life. And so the situation I'm facing now becomes light. I begin to realize the same God who saw me through is present now. He's able to take me through. Praise the Lord. That is why Jacob is laying this stone down and saying, this will be a reminder to me. Praise the Lord. But you cannot have a reminder when you have not had the experience. So you need to draw closer to God. Exodus 3, 2, 7. Exodus 3, verse 2 to 7.
Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight. Why does the bush does not burn up? When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come closer. God said, take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them cry because of their slave suffering.
Praise the Lord. In the presence of God is a place where God wants your undivided attention. When Moses is drawing towards this burning bush, all his attention is on the bush, something that has never happened before. So he approaches the bush. And that is why I'm telling you sometimes, for you to experience the presence of God, it will require you to isolate yourself. Praise the Lord. Sometimes to step aside, even from your closest friends, and begin to seek the face of God, then he begins to reveal himself. It's a place where undivided attention is required. If you look at these two people we have talked about, Jacob was not in a crowd. He was alone on the road. Moses has actually pushed the sheep deep into the desert, far away, alone. There, God begins to reveal himself to him. It is a place of reverence. It is a place of reverence. In verse 5, it says, do not come closer, any closer. The Lord warned, take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. When you begin to encounter God in your life, and I pray that you desire these things, brethren, it is important that you wish and long and thirst and hunger for this experience where you feel the presence of God in your life. It is a place of reverence where you need to lay down everything else and set apart everything. Anything that appears to be a stain, anything that appears to be soiling your life must be laid aside that you have a better experience with him. It is a place of divine experience that exposes those involved to their inadequacies. Sometimes as children of God, we walk and feel we are okay, we are fine. And sometimes we talk like that Pharisee. You see, I attend service every Friday from 11:45 to 1:45. And I'm also a teacher in the Friday school. I'm also a cell leader. Lord, you know what I do for you. You know I'm a very active member of Bread of Life in Muscat. And you know also, God, on Victory Nights, I also attend such services. Lord, you know everything about me, so bless me. Moses was told, when he heard the voice of God, what did he do? He began to cover himself. Because I believe he began to see how empty he was, how inadequate he was in the presence of God. He was beginning to see himself in the real sense. We need to have that experience where God begins to reveal some things that are deeply hidden in our lives. Praise the Lord. I can assure you, as a child of God, if there be any time that you feel you are okay, that is, you are very low down. Praise the Lord. You are on a very slippery ground, down. But the moment you start feeling that there's something that is really amiss, I need God. I just need time with God. That's the time that God is drawing you closer and washing you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We have got some people in my country, in the bus parks. They pretend to be the ones who organize others to get into the bus. We call them manambas. I don't know how to translate that in English. You have heard something numbers, but we call them manambas. So these people, they will, this bus is going to Rui, this bus is going to Sohad, come. And then they will tell the other person, the owner of the bus, You see, I brought all these people. Did they come take you from your house? They say, I brought all these people. You give me my commission. So they take and then they go. They are always noisy around. Always noisy. But I want to thank God. In all these experiences, we can see God wants you to be isolated, be in a quiet place. You know, even the church can be that noisy with my numbers. Did you know that? We can all be here, but some of us are my numbers. This is a new terminology in Bread of Life. Praise the Lord. They never go anywhere. They will be in the bus. Sometimes some of them are even in a court. You'll find them seated. You think, oh, the bus is about to be full. You sit with them. And as you start parking, you see one of them go out. Some are reading the newspaper even with glasses like me. So you think this is a very official man. But their purpose there is to attract passengers. You think, oh, this bus is about to be full. They say, this one person remaining, you get in. And then one person goes out. So there's always one person remaining. Don't be that person in this church. Praise the Lord. Begin to ask yourself, what is my role in this body of Christ here? Am I just making up numbers in the Bread of Life? Am I interacting with God in a deeper way that it benefits me also? I thank God you are here. Because I feel your company and I love it. But let it not just end at that point. As we part, let all of us part with something in our heart. Something that will build us. Praise the Lord. It is a place of fresh assignments. Because Moses is being assigned some work from verse 7 to 10. And also it is being affirmed to him that when that work is done, at that very place, he will come to worship. Praise the Lord. I want you to be challenged. God is not going to usher you into his presence to show you your inadequacies and leave you bare there. No. After showing you your inadequacies, he will clean you. He will prepare you and assign you a role and give you an affirmation that when all is done, you will be better than you were before. Praise the Lord. You are welcome into the presence of God. Daniel 3, 19 to 30.
Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace to be heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent that the furnace was so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped with his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, "Weren't there 3 men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, O king." He said, "Look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the 4th looks like the son of the gods." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servant of the Most High God, come out, come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire. And the satraps, prefects, governors, and the royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their head singed. Then their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angels and rescued his servants. They trusted in him, and the and defied the king's command and were not willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or any language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into the pieces and their houses be turned into piles of rubble. For no other God can serve in this way. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon.
Praise the Lord. Now, these are men who are in the presence of God. And we notice some things that are there. One, there was a place of adverse challenges. Being in the presence of God invites you to adverse challenges. Praise the Lord. It's never so comfortable. So these people are in the tunnel of fire. And we can see now the challenge they are facing. It is also a place where God reveals himself and his power. Because when the king looked again, he was so shocked that they had thrown only three people, but he was now seeing a fourth person. That was a testament that God is always there. This, he himself, a heathen, says, and the fourth one looks like a son of God. Praise the Lord. So it is not that you must see God. You say, oh, Lord, thank you. No, he's always there. Praise the Lord. It is where the state of your spirit is. How are you fellowshipping with him? Then you will begin to appreciate his presence in your life. These guys are facing a very challenging moment where whether it's death and life. But in that presence, because they have known what it means to be in the presence of God, they have submitted themselves to whatever comes because they know they are God. Bible says, they that know they are God shall do exploits. Praise the Lord. You cannot know God if you are away from him. You must learn to have a closer walk and a closer and intimate relationship with him where he's always present with you. Then in such circumstances of challenges, he intervenes. It is a place where God reveals himself and his power. That experience, the awareness of God's presence in your life brings you to the awareness of God's awesome power in your life. In Ephesians, we are learning that we have been enthroned with Christ in the heavenly places. But how many of us are exercising the same authority that Christ has on the right arm of the Father? Only Pastor. Pastor, you are in trouble. Because you are the one experiencing all prayers. Please, if you have a prayer request, bring it to Pastor because he's at least in touch with it. All of us are in Christ Jesus, have been lifted and raised and are enthroned on the right arm of the Father. A position of authority. Praise the Lord. That means you have got the authority to summon circumstances to respect you. You can declare to situations to be. And faith is calling upon those things that are not as though they are. Praise the Lord. It is a place where God's name is glorified. This king begins to recognize the God of these three young men. And finally, in the presence of God, finally in this point, don't start celebrating. It is a place where God elevates you to a new level. These young men have been with God Even in those times of adversity, challenges, in the fire, and God has seen their faithfulness, He has lifted them. The same person who wanted to murder them now is making them governors. Praise the Lord. It is sweet to be in the presence of God. On your own, you read Isaiah 43. When you go through deep waters, I'll be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned, but the flames will not consume you. Do you want me to continue reading? Yes. Eh? Yes. Okay. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt as a ransom for your freedom. I gave Ethiopia and Seba in your place. Nations are being surrendered because of you as a child of God. God was holding Egypt, was holding Ethiopia, trying to protect them. But the cry of Bartimaeus, he says, my son has cried for me. He abandons them. Praise the Lord. Your cry will cause God to come your way. Praise the Lord. Because you are close to him. Matthew 14, 22, 27.
Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid."
Praise the Lord. So we see this occasion again. Christ has sent the disciples on the sea, and there are storms. Can you tell your friend storms? There are storms. Speak, there are storms. Yeah. So the disciples begin to experience storms. And Christ at that point is not with them on the boat. Then he begins to walk in their direction. And the good thing is that in his presence, the storms were calmed down. Praise the Lord. Are you experiencing a storm? Walk into the presence of God. Praise the Lord. He will calm it down at the appointed time. Peter experienced a supernatural occurrence in the presence of God. He was able to walk on the water for a while. Praise the Lord. It's beautiful to be in the presence of God because you can try some things. If they go wrong, oh Lord, help me. Praise the Lord. Don't try them when you are far away from him. In his presence, try to stretch your faith. Try to stretch your faith. If it doesn't work, the Lord will take over. Praise the Lord. Outside him, zero. Quickly, we go through a few lessons just as a summary of what we have done. The first thing that we draw from here, one, God is always present with us. In Genesis 28, 15, God confirms to Jacob that he is ever present. And that is why Jacob says in verse 16, I'm paraphrasing, yeah, it is true, you are here. Praise the Lord. He acknowledges that God is there, present. I want to tell you the situation you are facing, God is present. Praise the Lord. Now, when we talk like this, some people always look at the negatives. Even when you are celebrating that situation, God is there. Celebrate with him. Praise the Lord. Because when I say in the situation you are facing, people just look at the negative. They say, oh, when I'm in trouble, that's when God is there. No, he's always there even when you are celebrating. It's only that we forget. We say, now God, take a back seat. Let me have fun with this blessing. But he's always there ready to be with you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Matthew 28, 20, the Bible says, I am always with you to the close of the age.
How many have reached the close of the age in their lives? Praise the Lord. For as long as we have not reached the age of the close of our age, the Bible says, I'll be with you until the close. I've not reached the close of my father. I'm here. Walk with me. Praise the Lord. So I have to remind myself that every time. Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you or abandon you. Did he say when you are in trouble, I'll abandon you? When you are blessed, I'll abandon you? I will never abandon you or leave you. So God is always present with us. It is us to rekindle the light, the awareness in our heart that God is with us and we celebrate with him. Praise the Lord. Lesson number two. Never be discouraged no matter the situation. Never be discouraged no matter. Romans 8:38. That one we must read. Brother.
For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither present nor future, nor any power, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Praise the Lord. How many know a spectrum? You are given a range. One pole this side, another pole this side. The extreme ends. Praise the Lord. And there are so many things in between, isn't it? So you are either on the extreme there or the other extreme. Now listen to the wisdom of God in this scripture. Neither death on that end, nor life on that end can separate us from the presence of. So anything in between life and death has no say in our relationship with God. Praise the Lord. Do you understand that? Death is an extreme. Life is an extreme. I don't know that they are opposites. But in between, there are many other things. A combination of many of them. Some of them are near death. Some of them are near life. But there's a combination. But the Bible is telling me, don't think about this one. Think about the extremes. None of them can separate you from the love of God. Another one he has said, angels and demons. Praise the Lord. It doesn't matter what kind of angel he is. It doesn't matter what kind of demon he is. None of them can separate us from the love of God. So you can remain in the presence of God for as long as you choose. As long as you decide, I want to be in the presence of God. Praise the Lord. Quickly, John, we are not reading that. John 8:3-11. There's a woman found guilty of adultery. And the men of this world want to stone her. They want to kill her. But Jesus says, whoever has not sinned, be the first to stone. And at the end, everybody disappears. There was a story which was being told. You know, Christ bent down and was writing things down. Okay. Among those people who were holding stones, there were thieves there. There were murderers there. There were corrupt people there. There were gossipers there. So Christ was writing, gossipers also should be stoned. Thieves should also be stoned. The corrupt should also. So the thief says, he walks away with his stone. The corrupt also says, because they were just seeing one side of it. They didn't see the, this is my own way. Praise the Lord. The Bible doesn't say that. But I'm just trying to tell you, sometimes men don't see themselves. They only see others. But God is merciful. The woman was in the presence of God. She was spared. Praise the Lord. That's the beauty of being in the presence of God. Another one, John 4:7. 20, that Samaritan woman. This one was guilty. She knew herself. Praise the Lord. But she decided, I don't want to interfere with anybody. I'll be living my own quiet life. When it is very hot, no woman will go to get water. So when it is very hot, that's when I'll go to tap my water. Because nobody will disturb me. Nobody will say, oh, this woman is bad. No, I'll not meet anybody there. But I thank God. On that day, she came. Jesus was there. The presence of God was there. And the lady wondered, what kind of person is this? And at the end of the day, her sins are forgiven. She's so excited. Praise the Lord. Come into the presence of God. That heavy load you have been carrying throughout will be rolled away. Amen. And you'll be set free. Amen. The woman became an evangelist. The one who could not meet other people at the watering point. She's the one walking in the street telling them, come see a man who has told me everything about my life. You will become a great evangelist of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Come into the presence of God and He will make a difference in your life. Lesson number 3. It's just one more lesson and then we'll finish. Just to encourage you to wait. Praise the Lord. Lesson number 3, we all gain boldness to declare the message given to us. Once you are in the presence of God, the fear factor is eliminated. Praise the Lord. That terror of just telling people I am born again disappears because there's something good that you are sharing with them. This Moses was running away. He had said, my company will be sheep. Because the sheep cannot tell me that I murdered somebody. So he loved being with the sheep because if he met an Israelite, they would tell him, you are the one who we had, you killed somebody in Egypt. He didn't want to hear that. So he was afraid of talking to them. But after he had an encounter with God, he's the man who is going to tell these people, God has sent me to come and deliver you. Praise the Lord. Boldness. Luke 1:28. Angel Gabriel stands in the presence of God. And so when he comes to declare the message that God has sent him, he is not worried at all. He speaks with authority. Why? Because he abides in the presence of. So will you be. The same authority this angel spoke with as he was sent, that will be upon you. As long as you abide in the presence of God. Yeah. Acts 2:14. Peter, full of the Holy Ghost, preached with boldness. He had experienced the presence of God. Praise the Lord. Before, a small young lady came to Peter and said, you look like those people who are with Christ. Peter said, are you mad? Don't disturb me. But he was feeling guilty. He was afraid, fear. But here, he's the one pushing the others. He said, give me this platform now. He tells them, I want to tell you about this Jesus Christ, the one that you have crucified. And he goes on to minister to this multitude. Timothy, 2 Timothy 1:7, the Spirit, we have not been filled with the spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. Praise the Lord. That's the spirit that you receive from God when you are in His presence. Last lesson, lesson number 4. We have a fresh experience in the presence of God. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 onwards. Brother. Isaiah chapter 6. I'll take it. It was in the year King Uzziah died that I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne and the train of his robe filled the temple. Attending him were mighty seraphim, each having 6 wings. With 2 wings, they covered their faces. With 2, They covered their feet, and with two they flew. Verse 5, then I said, it's all over. I am doomed, for I am a sinful man. I have filthy lips. I live among a people with filthy lips. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven, of heaven's armies. Isaiah from chapter 1 up to now has been prophesying, has been used of God. So he's a minister. But at this point, he has an encounter in the presence of God, a transformative encounter. Praise the Lord. It turns everything in his life. That is why I said it doesn't matter how long you have been saved. This experience of being in the presence of God, we need to yearn and desire and hunger for it. Praise the Lord. Because it opens a new window in our ministry. It opens a new experience with God. Praise the Lord. I invite you, brethren, that all of us be marked with this desire. We be in this place where we can see God. Mark 8, 22, 24, there's a blind man who is brought to Christ, and people say, please, let this man see. And the man is touched, and then he sees. But he says, I can see men like trees. There's no clarity. There's no clarity. And Christ touches him a second time. Praise the Lord. Then he can see clearly. We all need this second touch. You are touched, yes, there's been some form of clarity. But you need God. Finally. It's one thing to take comfort in the promise of God's presence. It's a greater thing to live and walk in his presence by choosing to align ourselves with his purposes. It's been said that the essence of the Christian life is to live all of life in the awareness of God's presence, under his authority and for his glory. That's the life I desire that all of us live. God bless you.
Praise the Lord, church. What a wonderful message. In God's presence. How many of you want to be in God's presence? Brother was saying, don't be like a bus conductor. All right? If you're a bus conductor, you always call passenger to enter into the bus. Not just bus conductor. Even those people that check you in at airport. Many of you have never entered into aircraft. They check you in. And they remain there. You go, you come back. So, brethren, this is a wonderful message that you have heard. I will just encourage you. Once Brother Vivican load it on the website, please go back there and listen to this message again. Because in the presence of God, there is what? Fullness of joy. If you really want to enjoy that, go back to the TBLF website and listen to this message again. The presence of God brings light into your darkness. The presence of God can be realized at any time, at any place. That is what God is telling you. Come to the presence of God. Those problems that you are facing will disappear. But what is your role? What is your role? Are you just calling the passenger to come into the presence of God? Be at the presence of God yourself. Let us be on our feet. And very quickly, just quickly pray this prayer. Lord, I seek your presence. Create in me a hunger to be where you are always. Talk to God. Lord, I want to be in your presence. Create in me a hunger to be where you are always. Begin to tell God. Tell God that you desire to walk with him. You desire to walk in his presence. That, Lord, I want to be where you are. I don't want to be alone. And God, when you pray and ask for that, God is going to make sure that he will give you the spirit that will lead you, guide you to always be in his presence. And when you are in his presence, he will reveal your hidden sin to you. Tell to God, Lord, I always want to be in your presence. And when you get to the presence of God, you will find joy, you will find peace, and you will have fine rest of mind. Even the direction to where your solution is, you will find it. And you will find strength in the presence of God. Thank you, Almighty God, because you have shown us your path to your presence. We give you grace. We bless your name. We glorify your holy name. Thank you, Lord, because we've had this message today, and we are logging in to be in your presence always. Father, help us to be in your presence in the mighty name of Jesus. We shall never be like a bus conductor that only calls passenger into the bus and never travel with the bus. Father, we want to go with you. Wherever you are, we want to be with you. Wherever our mind is, we want to be with you. Help us, Lord, to always walk beside you in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, everlasting Father, for your Son that you have used for all this day. More anointing in the mighty name of Jesus. The depth of your knowledge in him shall never dry up in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray that, Lord, in his circular jaw, continue to be with him in Jesus' name. Bless him, bless sister, bless the children, even those that are very far. Father, bless them in the mighty name of Jesus. Let him always be in your presence in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, everlasting Father. Lord, we shall be departing here now. Go with us in Jesus' name. Be with us in the mighty name of Jesus. Let our day-to-day activities continue to be in your presence in the mighty name of Jesus. And when we return next week, we want to glorify your holy name in the mighty name of Jesus. Tomorrow morning, some people want to secure the ticket to always be in your presence. Father, take charge and take control in the mighty name of Jesus. As they are ready to be water baptized, Father, begin from this night. Begin to minister to them in the mighty name of Jesus. And let your name be glorified. Lord, for the rest of the year, our programs are in your hand. Take perfect control in Jesus' name. Let all our program continue to be in your presence in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, everlasting Father, for in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's joyfully share the grace together in fellowship. In the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, God's goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen.